I have known Christchurch for 4 years, mostly through Mayflower Playgroup, where my son Samuel went and my daughter Alice currently attends. Both Samuel and Alice would regularly come home singing songs like God Made the Weather and asking questions about God. Now, I would be the first to say that my knowledge of the Bible and God was limited to what I had been taught at primary school. Going to Harvest Festival, performing as a sheep in the Nativity, and attending local C of E church as a brownie, where sermons were preached without explanation. I struggled to answer their questions and was of the opinion that no intelligent person could believe in God. Sorry. After all, what I thought I knew of God, the Creator, was completely the opposite of what I had been taught in science at school. Where was the proof? However, there were moments during my childhood where I would talk to God in my head. As a child who had been taken into care at a young age, I would ask him to send my parents to rescue me, to return me home and make me a normal child. Move forward 35 plus years, 4 children of my own, and it's nearing Christmas. I was fed up with the commercialisation of Christmas. It had become a community celebration with no meaning and dinosaurs making an appearance in the school nativity. I was feeling drawn to Wicca and paganism. My heart and soul was longing for guidance, yet not being fulfilled. I was blind to all the signs God was sending. There were many members of the church already playing a major role in my family's life. Quite a few were now friends that I saw every day at school. Emma Chandler, who I had first met at Mayflower, invited me to Ladies' Christmas Pudding Evening. Emma and I had numerous discussions about religion and faith in the school playground, with Emma gently having patience with me and my whimsical beliefs. During this evening, Emma and Ruth talked about the nativity service and how the children get to dress up and join in. Ruth suggested I brought the children along. On the days running up to Christmas Eve, I ransacked the airing cupboard and out of pillowcases put together a couple of shepherds and an angel costume. They nervously turned up to the nativity, with Samuel protesting he'd already done it at school. The children reluctantly joined the others on stage. Alice enjoyed the limelight and Samuel tried to hide. At the end of the service, Mark suggested that if you would like to find out more, then there was going to be courses run at the church building where you could ask any question. My first response was mission accepted. Mostly with a defiant heart to prove it all wrong, to ask what I believed to be the unanswerable questions, I hadn't yet met Mia. When Alice returned to Mayflower after Christmas, I asked Caroline about the courses Mark had mentioned. Caroline suggested popping along to Ladies' Bible meeting on a Wednesday to get a feel for it and to introduce myself. That first Wednesday morning after dropping Alice off, my anxiety was in overdrive. My heart was pounding, my mouth dry. It felt like it took all I had to walk through that door. As I entered, I saw a few familiar faces. Then Roz introduced herself. I immediately felt at ease. A sense of this is where I was supposed to be. I was among friends. I returned the next week and was introduced to Mia and Ali, with whom I would start Luke Uncovered with. Both were understanding about my lack of knowledge of the Bible and that I had completely dismissed Christianity. After all, shouldn't I have experienced an epiphany if God wanted me here? Isn't that how it worked for them? Doesn't God call you to be a Christian rather than vice versa? At times I felt like both Mia and Ali were having to defend their beliefs, with my questions ranging from dinosaurs to the creation of the whole universe. However, they did answer all my questions, never once seemingly to be offended by my naivety. During one of these first sessions, when I had said that I needed facts, someone mentioned reading The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, a hard-nosed journalist who goes out to historically disprove Jesus' resurrection. After leaving that week, I looked it up and ordered it. I have since read it several times, each time the physical evidence satisfied the historian in me. As a family, we continue to attend the church. The children were comfortable there and enjoyed their individual groups and the biscuits afterwards. We had started coming along to church at the time when there were sermons on marriage and how the Bible set out male and female roles. Daily life with a chaotic family of 4 children, the ups and downs that brings, as well as work and financial issues, were putting a strain on our relationship. However, after listening to these sermons and feeling like what was being said was meant for us, I knew if we continued to come that we would get the guidance we needed to work through our difficulties. It was around this time that through church I started Christianity Explored, with Emma and Shirley being my chauffeur to Sue's house on a Thursday evening. Here we looked at Mark's Gospel, explaining the events of the crucifixion and resurrection. We were approaching Easter, and this helped me understand the importance of Holy Week, as well as Emma pointing out it was more important than Christmas. However, I still felt unable to pray or take communion at church. I had brief moments of feeling like I was a fraud, that I wasn't worthy or knowledgeable enough to take part. I found it hard to accept why so many people would take their time to answer my questions, to show me God's word and Jesus' teachings, to be so welcoming and accepting of myself and my family. I was still looking for their ulterior motive. Then I had a moment during a sermon at church when I was contemplating Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. I suddenly felt overcome by grief, like a deep sense of mourning of the sacrifice Jesus had made, both the physical and emotional pain. I felt my heart ache, then I was crying and had to leave. My emotions very rarely do public outings. While sobbing outside those doors, a lady and gentleman found me and led me to the garden or prayer room. Then Mia appeared. I couldn't fully explain what had happened and felt a little foolish. Mia reassured me that I was among family. With hindsight, I can see that this was the Holy Spirit giving me an emotional connection to Christ. One very trying day at home with the children, I took refuge with my Bible that Emma had gifted me and found a section at the back which was titled God's Plan to Save You, where I found a paragraph titled Do You Believe? Here it quotes John chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Alongside this, it had questions. Please consider your own answers. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Is Jesus the object of your faith? Not faith in ritual, not faith in sacrifices, not faith in morals, not faith in yourself. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to free you from the guilt and judgment of sin? Do you believe that he rose from the grave, breaking the power of death and making way for you to have eternal life in heaven? I could answer yes to all these questions and found that the prayer that followed them made me feel like all my burdens had been lifted. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son and that he died on the cross to save me from my sin. I believe that he rose again to life, and that he invites me to live forever with him in heaven as part of your family. Because of what Jesus has done, I ask you to forgive me of my sin and give me eternal life. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust Jesus as my Saviour and follow him as my Lord. Help me to live in a way that pleases and honours you. Amen. Amy, my eldest daughter, asked me if we were now Christian and whether she would have to be baptised. I explained that I believed in God and the resurrection, that I wanted to follow Jesus, and this made me a Christian. It took a moment for the words that had left my mouth to register. It felt like someone else had said them. So here I am, as surprised as anyone, that today I will be baptised. It seems like such a short time, yet I have learnt so much about myself, the Bible, but most of all Jesus. With hindsight, I can see that this has always been God's plan. I had an eventful childhood. I took too many risks as a teenager. I have been given the gift of my own family, even though we were told the probability was slim. We now live on the street from where I was taken into care, to be surrounded by amazing Christian women, who not only gave me the privilege of hearing their own testimonies, but to give me guidance by sharing their own wisdom and knowledge. God has answered my childhood prayers. Not only has he given me a church family, but the greatest gift of all, his Son.
Hi, I'm Jen. I've got two children, Myra and Evie, and I'm married to Sam. And I've been coming to Christ Church since moving back to Haworthseath in September 2016. I grew up in Haworthseath and went to a Catholic church and Catholic schools. It was a lovely community and I have only fond memories. I have never not believed, but it wasn't until my late teens that I began to explore the Bible for myself. However, although I found it fascinating, I didn't prioritise this at all and went to university putting my beliefs on the back burner. I found conversations about my faith difficult to have, and I learnt to keep my opinions about God, Jesus and heaven to myself. After university, I reconnected with a school friend who was in a similar situation faith-wise to myself. We both wanted to study further and began to go to Burgess Hill Baptist Church, where my friend had a connection. We did various courses, joined a house group, and eventually started a course which would lead to baptism. Although I believed and understood the reason for baptism, I just didn't really want to do it. Perhaps it was because culturally it didn't fit in with what I was used to, or I just didn't want to commit or make changes to my old life. I was also definitely worried about what people would think. Around this time, I met my future husband, Sam, a non-Christian. I put my developing faith on the back burner again. We moved to Dorset, married, and in the 14 years that I was there, I wrestled daily with myself about my beliefs. I found it difficult to fit them into my life. I prayed often, but I didn't go to church. I didn't have the impetus to find one. None of my work colleagues knew what I believed, as I was only really comfortable talking about it to people who were already Christians. This began to change before I had my first daughter. I knew that I wanted for her what I had growing up, a church community. Before I had Maya, I tried a few churches, but when she was a baby, I took her along to a group called Bubbles, run by Gillingham Community Church. It was the most popular baby group in our town, and I really enjoyed going. The girls who ran it were lovely. We got chatting, and I was invited along to one of their services. I had actually been recommended that church a long time before by my brother-in-law, but I shied away from it when I read their mission statement online. It just seemed too out there for me and too committed to Christ. I doubted I would be able to hide away in the back. But this time I went along. I made some lovely friends, joined a fab house group with all mums and babies, and had an enjoyable last year in Gillingham before making the decision to move back here. Gillingham Church is a Bible teaching church and advocates believers' baptism. Before we knew we were moving back, I knew that I needed to make a commitment and was invited to one of the church leaders' house to discuss membership. But the issue of baptism came up, and again, it just didn't sit comfortably with me. It still felt odd. I was worried about nailing my colours to the mast and upsetting people. I realised, however, that I was the issue, not baptism. I began praying for courage, commitment and confidence. In September 2015, we moved back, staying with my mother-in-law. And encouraged from my time in Gillingham Community Church, I didn't hesitate to start looking for a church. I felt very protected. Our Christian neighbours, Jonathan and Rosemary, recommended several and really took an interest. I began going to a baby group run by Cookville Baptist Church. There I met some amazing people, the CBC team and other mums. And like the baby group back in Gillingham and here at Tots, their faith is no secret. Their confidence has given me confidence to be able to talk more openly. When Sam and I finally moved to Woodlands Road, Christchurch was on my radar. I'd heard good things and met people who came here. Maya started at Mayflower and I began to come along to the services. I decided that this was a church that I wanted to commit to. Eventually, I had a meeting with Graham, and like meetings before, we got to the baptism issue. And I still wasn't quite ready, but it wasn't a no. I knew I wanted to do it. I just wasn't sure how I would get to the point where I felt I would be able to. I began studying with Ali, went to Together on Wednesdays, and it has been so good being able to study the Bible and reflect regularly. It has really encouraged me in my faith, and I recognise the need for this regular study and prayer. It has given me confidence that I lacked before. A few months ago, I woke up with the utter conviction that I wanted to be baptised and that I needed to repent. So even though this is not a low-key baptism that I had envisaged, I can honestly say I don't care. I'm fully committed to joining the church and fully committed to my belief in Jesus. And given the real struggles that some Christians face around the world, I am eternally grateful and humbled that God has been so patient with me.